this is going to be, I think, probably one of the more controversial installments of Modern Art Madness. And, well, it's behind the paywall for a reason. Not just the fact that it will be very spicy quinoa and nectar that shall floweth, but rather, well, it's kind of embarrassing to air these things out in public. But let me just say before I proceed that I do not endorse this type of artwork. And I have a very complicated overall opinion of the works of Tracy Emin. But let's do, without further ado, let's explore the work that, in a lot of ways, besides her bedroom, defined her career. Everyone I have ever slept with, 1963 to 1995. And for those who don't know, let me just go over the basic description. It is a pop tent. It is a children's tent that you have when you're a kid. You set up in the backyard. You play in it. But on it is embroidered the names of everyone that Tracy Emin has had sex with, has slept with, has been intimate with, in not just in a sexual way, but also in an emotional way. And in some ways, you have to realize the context of the... And I know by saying context, I'm just basically trying to cope and theory sell my way into, into lowering your defenses, given my audience. But let me just say that in context. In context, oh, I keep saying that word and it's not going to make it any better. You have to look at, during this time period with young British artists, Tracy Emin was a quote-unquote trailblazer for the raw, exposed, out in the open, damaged particular form of femininity and feminist agitprop in the art world. And her own very, you know, whether you could say it was an authentic form of self-expression through the artist as genius. Now the artist is no longer genius, but rather the artist as damaged subject and the artist as a, let's call it, wellspring or watershed for catharsis in the audience, but a very particular type of engendered, even you could say age level audience. This is particularly art made by and for young to middle-aged women who have very particular negative life experiences. So this is from the article in Wide Walls. The young British artists, these emerging artist graduates of the Goldsmith Of course, Goldsmith. We all know that Goldsmith has produced some wondrous and terrible things in both the philosophy departments and in the art departments. BA Fine Arts degrees. So Charles Saatchi was one of the big moguls behind the YBA. The most prolific female figure of the YBAs and one of the women ever accepted as professional by London Royal Academy is Tracy Emin, who explored her sexuality, gender, and addiction through various media. Throughout the years, she constructed an authentic, well, we'll get into that, an authentic confessional approach that had, depending on from one project to another, certain social implications. So Tracy Emin is the archetype of the art ho, really, honestly. She is all that. She is, you know, her... Frida Kahlo before her. You know, if you want to talk about an art world version of, let's call it, you know, decades after her, or well, a few decades, not decades. The 2010s confessional article style by younger women in these, you know, bloggy type of publications. Tracy Emin is the art world version of this. She has inspired it all. She is all that. She is the apex and archetype of the damaged confessional artist. The damaged confessional woman artist in particular. She is, and you could say that at the time that she was doing it, that it was coming from a place of genuine, authentic hardship and struggle and a lot of like problems that stem from her bad relationships and addiction and chaos and so forth. But Tracy Emin nowadays very much has become a brand, and she's very much become this like force in herself. And one could argue kind of like Picasso in his later life with his artwork. If Tracy Emin has just basically adopted a self-parody or a put-on. A lot of people would say so. I say that her more current work, the one she did for White Cube, the paintings, they're all right. I did an article a few years ago when I would do Monday Modern Art Madness on WordPress instead of in audio form. She's definitely matured in her work. A lot of people would criticize her still, but I would say that this type of stuff, I mean, there could only be one Tracy Emin. I'm sorry, ladies. I'm sorry, art hoes that listen to this. I mean, I imagine not a lot will, but like, let's say that, you know, I'm very sorry that the sort of damaged woman doing this very tight confessional work that is very cathartic. I mean, there could only be one Tracy Emin. I hate to say it. Anyways, the important elements of Emin's practice is performativity that is inseparable from the artist's eccentric persona and the way she perceives the public space. So again, this is the artist creating the space. And you notice that with a lot of installation pieces, this article will comment on the sort of the phenomenology of experiencing Tracy Emin's, you know, either her bedroom. Well, I mean, the bedroom was cordoned off, but the, you know, looking inside of the tent, crawling down, looking in, experiencing it, almost wanting, like what she says, almost wanting to be like a child again. Or, you know, when like you're sort of out of adolescence a little bit, and, you know, Tracy Emin, I'm sure she's making this contrast between, you know, what adolescence is. It is the cutoff between childhood innocence and more adult things. So it's almost like, you know, I guess in her mind, it would be like, you know, when you're younger and, you know, you're quote unquote experimenting in these spaces that kids are involved in. But those spaces of childhood innocence and play, they become very awkward and tense when you grow up a little bit. I guess that's her intention of it. Make of that what you will. I'm not going to comment further on that, but let's just say that she's playing with the shattered innocence vibe of a pop tent with all of the names of people that she loved or had sex with or was hurt by or was intimate with in some emotional way, not just in a sexual way. But of course, what became the fixation of the media was it was sold as, you know, oh, she just basically wrote the names down of all the people she shagged in a pop tent. That was like the British media, their reaction to it. 102 names of people that Tracy Emin has ever slept with until the time of its production in 1995 is often literally interpreted as a work indicating the number of her sexual partners, but it actually goes beyond that. Also includes names of some people whom she has slept with and so on. Like, most dominant name is perhaps Billy Childish, with whom Emin was emotionally involved for some time. Goes through all of her relationships. I really don't have to comment on it. The controversy, she gained a cult-like status. Tarasachi, of course, was pumping her up, wanting to buy the work, but Emin refused to sell due to her patrons advising work for the Thatcher administration. Oh, so due to the patrons advertising. So because Tarasachi worked for the advertising, the campaign of Maggie Thatcher, she can't sell it. That's girl bossing. It's giving a, even in this time, the art world, giving the lib seal of approval. But you know what's funny is that even though Tracy Emin, I've always maintained this, even though Tracy Emin is like praised for her work involving sexuality and female addiction and abortion and things that, you know, libs just eat up, you know, white middle-class libs. By middle-class, I mean in Britain, what they mean, which is basically in North America, we mean like upper middle-class or upper class. The, you know, the stuff that white libs in the middle class in Britain eat up, even here. And I know that Tracy Emin, it's funny because she tries to be political, But in my mind, I don't know why I think this. I think that Tracy Emin is, in some ways, her work is sort of apolitical in the sense that it is confessional. And any political reading that you have into it, either the affirmative feminist, she's, you know, challenging gender norms, and she's, you know, she's not conventionally attractive, but she has a sexuality, and she's, you know, talking about abortion and all of this stuff. Or the negative, which is she's a degenerate, she's a, you know, everything that's wrong with the art world is basically, you know, a few examples you can name. Tracy Emin, Damien Hirst, of course, you know, again, another young British artist. Or like, I guess, well, Picasso, if you really want to be a trad. You know, it's like Tracy Emin becomes the punching line. But in both instances, I think that her work manages to evade, like, apart from the usual lib politics of, like, you know, abortion access now, her work is strangely apolitical in that it is putting on a caricature of the damaged woman. At least that's my interpretation. Of course, her work does have a lot of strong, like, leftoid political themes. So this is a quote from Emin's 10th. The artist was furious during the public reaction. She stated, "The news comes between Iraqi weddings being bombed and people dying in the Dominican Republic in flash floods." Wow, this really dates it, you know, to the, you know, early to mid-90s. "So we have to get into perspective. The majority of the British public have no regard or no respect for what me and my peers do to the point..." Well, yeah, it's true. "To the point where they laugh at a disaster like a fire. It's just not fair and not funny and not polite. And it's bad manners. I would never laugh at the disaster like that. I just have some empathy and sympathy for the people's loss." Well, we can debate about that one. Emin does not stand out as a feminist artist. She stated she is a feminist, but not as a feminist artist. Nevertheless, through her work, she deals with subjects that are to be interpreted from the feminist perspective. And of course, Wide Walls links off to the bed, you know, the famous bed. That, you know, I'm damaged. I live this life that is, you know, interesting and on the edge, and I'm almost dying of alcoholism and so forth. And so this is, what's interesting about this is that this is really, it brought, I would say, let's call it emotionless performance in the form of installation art. What do I mean by this? I mean that it is not performance in that there is a delineated time. The artist is directly involved. Well, the artist is directly involved here, but like, let's say that the artist is in the work. It's performance. It's, you know, it's minstrelship. It's doing a series of steps that by its nature is evanescent. Here, it's motionless performance. It's living performance in that it is an installation work. But to me, there's so much of Tracy being bombastic and performatively, let's say, provocative, that it's almost like she might as well just be standing there and reading off the names to you in the tent, in the pop tent. Maybe you'll have tea in the pop tent with Tracy Emin. It's so deeply woven into who she is that it's hard to separate. So I find this last part from the Wide Walls article particularly delicious. "Here is also important to acknowledge the fact that the UK society struggles with centuries-old combat with sexism. Therefore, regardless of the mentioned controversy, which has more or less continually escorted the artist, the piece Everyone I Have Ever Slept With stands out as a valuable example of rebellious work made by a woman in the post-Thatcherite era, which gained deserved critical attention and could be articulated in the context of the third wave of feminism." Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, I personally think that Maggie Thatcher was a neocon, and like Ronald Reagan, probably wasn't the best for even the right wing in the Anglosphere. But let's say that Maggie Thatcher probably was a woman that was, you know, trailblazing and did a lot to improve the stand. Well, I don't know if improve the standing of women overall, but, you know, she was a mover and shaker and a very powerful woman. But that being said, I mean, Tracy Emin, I think that her, like, Thatcherite thing, I think that was, like, foisted upon her. I truly believe that she doesn't care that much, in my honest opinion. I think that Tracy Emin was probably told by some handler to do this. And she herself is probably not very political in terms of like party politics. I'm sure she probably disliked Maggie Thatcher being an art school graduate liberal. But that being said, I mean, yeah, that's my take. And then, of course, it's this new memoir, Strange Land, the intimate memories of one of the most acclaimed and controversial artists of her generation. And a quote, here I am, a fucked, crazy, anorexic, alcoholic, childless, beautiful woman. Oh, I never dreamt it would be like this. Tracy Emin's Strange Land is her own space, lying between the Margaret of her childhood, the Turkey of her forefathers, and her own private public life in present-day London. Oh boy. Oh boy. But why am I covering this? Because I think that instead of ridiculing the tent, you know, like most people, I mean, because it is, I mean, let's face it, it is kind of like, you know, I do think that in terms of like just from an objective lens, I think that the tent reveals something about the nature of confessional work, and that even not the sort of not the work itself, but rather the marketing around the work, the hyperreal reaction to it, the comments by Tracy Emin, her sort of like, you know, institutional critique. I'm a rebel, but I'm still a part of the art world. I think like apart from the work itself, what's interesting about it is sort of like not even the work itself, but what's around it, the apparatus that was created, the discourse around the work, and sort of like the limitations and the extremities and the highs and the lows of the confessional cathartic type of art making, or even like, you know, these confessional think pieces that were, you know, all the rage in the 2010s among millennial lols. You know, Tracy Emin was a trailblazer in that sense as well. So to me, that's more interesting than the actual work itself. And, you know, you could say that, well, you know, it's a degradation of culture and that it's basically fueling a particular form of female narcissism, which I mean, generally, yes, that's very true. But I think that, you know, Tracy Emin being brought up to the level of being a symbol of said female narcissism is quite interesting. So she says, and I quote, "It is a space of refuge, a private place, my tent." Later, I think it actually was acquired by the Saatchi collection. Emin's tent functions as a private sphere, a place of refuge, a bedroom, and a temporary dwelling. So there's a liminality to it, I guess you could say. That is the in vogue term. The tent represents a place exposed to danger. As an ephemeral architectural structure, it is less protective than solid walls. The protection starts to evaporate inside the tent when autobiographical details of the most intimate kinds are revealed. The names of all those whom the artist has shared her bed with, and intimate moments of sleep between 1963 and 1995, whereby the formulation slapped with in the title was a conscious play upon sexual connotations. It carried. She included not only the names of her lovers, but also family members such as her grandmother, friends. Also mentioned two unborn fetuses from two abortions. You know, it's funny. I said this in my comment. This is the last point because I've gone on far too long. I said this about her work in White Cube. That in some ways I think there is a redemption for Tracy Emin, because I noticed this need to atone, this regret, this longing in her to repent for her sins of, well, you know, to keep it PC, the destruction of her unborn children. I noticed that she's very different from the, you know, pro-abortion, pro, well, I'm not going to say the word, the I word, infanta, you know what. The sort of pro-death activism that you find in other artists that I've covered, I notice in the later works of Tracy Emin, even here, there still is a little, like even that recognition of her two unborn children that she facilitated the destruction of. I notice that even like including that is a big thing. Like, to me, I noticed that Tracy Emin, her later work, there's a regret there. Maybe because she's a middle-aged childless woman. She's, you know, affluent, white, liberal female of the older variety. So I think that maybe that could have a bearing upon her approach to it. But overall, I mean, that's what, to me, gives Tracy Emin a bit more tact and a bit more meaning than, you know, any of the artists I covered in my mega essay abortion, bodily profanations about that abortion is normal, quote unquote, emergency gallery that happened in 2019. But this concludes my exploration of Tracy Emin's tent. I had to get a big one out of the way in terms of its impact and its ridicule factor. And, you know, the tent is eternal. I hate to say it. Instead of the longhouse, we have Tracy Emin's long tent. God bless and goodbye.